Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that Lord, we get to be in your presence. And Lord, I just want to, Lord, we just want to continue to worship through our giving and through this time of offering. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless this offering, Lord, that you would use this giving, Lord, and that you would take it so much further than we could make it go. And so, Lord, we just worship you right now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So basically how it works here is once you get a basket, just kind of keep passing it back the best that you can. And I'm just going to keep going through some announcements for you guys. So our first announcement is we have something called the Meals Ministry here at Adventure. And basically I have benefited from this often, and my wife's pregnant and due January, so I'll probably be benefiting more then. But basically what this ministry does is there are several families, about eight families right now, that are currently working in this ministry. And what they do is they make meals and bring them to people when somebody's hurt, or maybe there's a child born or something like that, or any reason where someone might need meals taken to them. And it's a tremendous blessing, I can say, from having experienced it numerous times. But it also is, right now we have a lot of meals going out, and it's a pretty big burden for eight families to take on. And so if you're interested and you'd like to help, you can kind of sign up whenever. But basically, if you want to fill out a communication card, which is in your bulletin, if you'd like to help participate in that. I got the chance to talk to Travis Remick on the phone, and he kind of gave me a brief update of kind of how Mark and the Benders are doing. They're coming home early July, so in just a couple weeks now. A tremendous blessing. They have been given numerous donations, and because of those donations, have been able to renovate their home to accommodate his wheelchair. And so that's a huge kind of blessing for them. And so Paris Stildegan came up with this really cool idea for kind of just getting the house ready and cleaning up some things for them. And Travis Remick is the contact for this. But basically what's going on is we're doing a work party, and they need about 15 people, and it's going to meet Saturday at 9:30. And basically it's yard work and moving the furniture back in and doing some cleaning. Nothing really heavy, but the idea is basically we want to bless them, and we want to let them know that they are very much a part of this family, and that we care about them very much. And so if you would like to be a part of that and help just bless them and welcome them home, you can contact Travis Remick. There's also more details in your bulletin. I think there's a little flyer that has more information on that. Next is the Colossal Coaster World for VBS. There's a table outside for signups for that. And then last but not least is there is a baptism coming on July 14th. And then followed by that, we're going to go down to the baptism, and then immediately after we're going to have kind of a picnic in the park. And so everybody's invited to go down and participate as a family and be a part of those baptisms and witness and celebrate with everyone, and then we're going to have a picnic after. But if you would like to be a part of that baptism, and that's something you feel like God is leading you to do, and you're ready to do that, I just encourage you to just write baptism on a connection card and turn that in, and we'd love to do that for you. And so last thing I will mention, actually, is we have a bunch of seniors graduating, and next service we're just going to kind of honor them. I'm not going to invite them up this service. I've asked them all to come next service, but I just want to let you guys know we have a big class. There's like 16 seniors that have graduated this year, and so it's pretty big and pretty exciting. So if you happen to see one of those seniors, just give them a hug and tell them congratulations. It's a pretty significant milestone. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite Jeff Hansen up.
Thank you, BJ, for doing announcements this morning. I'm going to crack this door open if anybody else is feeling stuffy besides me. Good morning. So here we are. I got a pile of stuff here. I think I'm going to be sitting down for some of this. I thought about last week and how some people probably went through the whole message I was given wondering what I did to my arm. So I thought I would shed some light on that first so you guys can move on from that to listening to what I say. So we have this chicken coop, and we live out by Lake Margaret, and there's a lot of bear out there by Lake Margaret, and this bear was ripping the door off of the chicken coop, and you got to do what you got to do. I love my chickens, so the bear looks a lot worse than I do, and I was waiting for that, BJ. I got to remember to not use a bear for the example when I do stories like this. We always joke with Bear that he's always barefoot. So, actually, I had surgery on my shoulder. A lot of you already know this. I'm a window cleaner, so I think just over the years, it's kind of broken down my arm, my shoulder, to where just had this pain in my arm for a couple of years, and tried to fix it with chiropractic and stuff, and they were like, you need to get an MRI. There's a torn tendon in there, rotator cuff. So had surgery, and it wasn't super bad when they got in there. So expect me to be able to be out there cleaning windows again here in a few months. So I got a couple more weeks in this sling. And for the record, I was not on pain medication last Sunday when I was speaking, so. Despite the recommendation of Randy, I did not take pain medication before I spoke. And you guys think I'm joking about that. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in here. So, Lord, I just I ask that for the rest of the day, but, Lord, I really want to commit this next 45 minutes to you. Lord, would you open our spiritual eyes. I'm asking for awareness, Lord. We've got so much to push through living in this physical world, to see what you're doing around us, to see the spiritual realm. But Lord, you have given us eyes to see it. Lord, would you open those eyes this morning as we spend a lot of time in your word, a lot of time looking at truth, and just awareness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to ask you guys, what was your spiritual environment this week? Like, just thinking through the week, maybe there's a point, some experience, some time in your week that you felt some kind of awareness of what's going on spiritually. Maybe it was a message that was being offered to you from the enemy. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit just came to you in a moment of just listening to him, submitting something to him, and he spoke some truth to you. What was your experience this week? Does anybody have just, short, you have to like tell the whole story of your week. I'm just looking for like, God spoke this to me, or I felt like the enemy offered me this week, or does anybody have anything like that? I'm just kind of temperature check on the spiritual awareness of this room. Yeah.
We've started in the office again, my husband and I, business, starting it out in prayer, which we had kind of dropped the ball on it for a little bit.
Cool.
And it has very much played into some decisions about our business and our walk, the ability to recognize a little bit quicker when something's coming at us, and the ability to stand against it a lot stronger. We've seen some very serious work being done by God this week.
Wow. Isn't that awesome? When you just, okay, we're going to regularly submit this work to God. And then you wonder, and then you see all this fruit, and you're like, man, what have we been missing? That's cool. That's good. So you're seeing that in the spiritual realm. You're seeing the effect of that. Isn't that funny how you can have that or you cannot have that? That's a choice that we have. It's just don't do it, and you don't see those things. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. And you got something back you probably weren't expecting. So, cool. Sweet. Kim? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yes, back in the sound booth.
I know God spoke some freedom into an area of my life this week that I have been having some troubles with over the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
So I definitely got some freedom.
Cool. Debbie.
This is the first time that I've had a child and a husband go on a mission trip at the same
time. Oh. So the offer of fear, the opportunist steps in. Yeah.
Reaching out of our comfort level and fellowshipping unconditionally, that is casting off some of those burdens or chains that we carry about being able to fellowship and to witness the word of the Lord without any reservation.
Mm-hmm. That openness. Mm-hmm. Cool. DJ, go ahead.
On Thursday night, as I was just sharing a message with the high schoolers, that I felt like God was really pushing me to challenge students with the gospel message. And so I did that. And basically, at the end, I said, whatever you can, whatever you need to do, here's my number. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about it. And I said that. And then I went back up again, and I felt like the Lord was saying, and so I just kind of put the offer out there, and then at about 11 o'clock on Thursday night, someone called, and then after a conversation, accepted Christ.
Wow. Awesome. God led you to that, and fruit came of it, and that's cool. I want to read a little story here, and those of you who just shared those things, you'll find that just acknowledging them, kind of verbally expressing them, I mean, it opens up your eyes to greater depths now of what God's doing in your life. And God can build on those things that you just shared, gave testimony of. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you guys have your Bibles or you can just listen to me. Starting on verse 8. Elisha traps blinded Arameans. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God, Elijah, sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? What's going on here? Why do they seem to know what we're doing?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers, "but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back. "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes, so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, And he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Isn't that awesome? I've got to read the rest of the story just because it's hilarious and awesome. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." It's the man they're looking for leading him. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. Now they're in the enemy camp. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. That's an awesome story, but the focus there is the spiritual eyes that God opened of that servant. Elijah knew it. Okay, he knew that the Lord's armies were there. The servant didn't. And his eyes needed to be opened, his spiritual eyes. And the servant apparently had spiritual eyes that just needed to be open. He didn't need to be given spiritual eyes, he just needed to use them. And all of us, as we follow God, as we have the Holy Spirit in us, have spiritual eyes. And so this morning, in kind of the second part of the of spiritual warfare stream, which is just the conversation we had last week of, you know, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, there is an enemy, and God has made it clear to us, you know what, you guys have the authority, you have the power, you have the authority in me to walk through this life in victory, but the enemy is going to come at you. And so you should know what's going on so you're not unaware, and you should be intentional about how you walk through this life with the Lord. And then I told you last week, we're going to look at kind of practically what that looks like. And so we're going to, this morning, in a minute here, I'm going to pass out this prayer that we're going to walk through together. This morning together for the time we're here, we're going to walk through it kind of slowly and stop. We're going to be stopping. I'm going to be talking a little bit about the different sections we're reading, why this is included. And then you can take it home. And you can pray through that. It has, this particular version has a bunch of scripture references after each part to kind of show where is this coming from. We downloaded it off of Ransomed Heart Ministries, and John Eldridge with Ransomed Heart Ministries admits he got it from an Ed Murphy's Handbook of Spiritual Warfare. Ed Murphy admits he got it from somewhere else. It's basically scripture. And then brought together, so it basically goes through a lot of who we are, our identity, our authority. As we look at that together, I know that there's some guards that go up, or there's some checkouts that happen amongst us with a written prayer. Well, this is relationship. I just read this written prayer. This is a guide to the truth of who you are. I can tell you, I feel like I have a pretty good connection with God, a pretty close relationship with him. This last week, I've prayed through this prayer every morning, first thing. And in 24 hours, I had forgotten some of who I am. Forgotten in my conscious awareness, right? I am forgotten, but was not aware. And once more, as soon as I start into this prayer, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. And it has made a world of difference for me, in my walk with God. Some of the offers I've had this week are pretty big ones. Two of them that come to mind are, one, you probably shouldn't just keep living like you have, which is God tells me to do something, I go do it. Because there's no guarantee that it's going to turn out the way that you think it is, or even going to turn out in a way that you think is good. So you've been living your life like that, Jeff. that's going to be dangerous for you to continue to do that. No guarantees. So I had to face that offer. I had to face the offer of, you know, from here on, life is going to be one painful experience after another. Like, I'm not in Kansas anymore. You know, my life up to a couple years ago just felt like it was this, you know, this is the offer. This is the, and as I kind of fall into the fog of it, it's like, you know, life was so just laid out and smooth and wonderful. But now it's what are you going to find out today? What tragedy is going to happen today? You know, look at my kids, and are they all going to be there in a year? And just going down that road. And so those two things, you know, if I hadn't have, I've known about this, kind of walking through this prayer. I know that Randy does this. He's, for years, he's walked through just pre-aligning himself with the truth. And I have not dove into that. I've just kind of touched it here and there, and then we'll do it together as lead team sometimes. Or when we went on the Albania trip, we kind of committed to every morning. The whole team came together. You know, you don't say much more than good morning before we start in on this, because otherwise the conversations start going sideways, and we just realign ourselves with Christ. And that's been awesome. But this week I decided, you know what, I'm gonna dig into this, and I'm going to go. I have an audio version on my phone, so I can just go for a walk and listen through this and just kind of realign myself. And it was powerful against those messages that I just shared with you. Just able to shut those down because I was living in constant awareness of who I am. So it makes a big difference. So I'm going to grab a couple people here to hand these out. Whoever, it's going to take me forever to do it with one hand, so just everybody gets one. And if you run out of those, there's another stack back there. So, you know what? I need the, there it is. You did give it to me, BJ. Thank you. The clicker. Now this is going to be the part that everyone's challenged in different ways with, having a piece of paper in front of them while someone's trying to talk. And, you know, some people are going to be reading all the way through it and not listening to me, and that's totally cool because you're reading good stuff. Some of you are going to want to, you know, if you need a pen, there's pens in the back. If someone wants to grab the basket of pens and take notes, you know, I'm going to be commenting on this. Some of you are going to get annoyed because I'll read two sentences and then I'll stop and talk about it. And you're like, no, I want to keep reading. But you're going to take that home with you. And so that's how it's going to go, like it or not. I'm going to totally mess up somebody's music here and probably take some of it. So we'll make that right afterwards. So I'm going to throw up. Uh-oh, I need to turn this on. Hey. Okay. So let's dive in here. Think about this not as just a written prayer, but the truth. I'll try to make it clear to you that this is the truth of Scripture, but you can go home afterwards, and on the last page there that you have are the Scripture references. Dig in. Investigate this. So we start just by that recommitting ourselves, coming back. My dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now to be restored in you, to renew my place in you, my allegiance to you, and to receive from you all the grace and mercy I so desperately need this day. So this is just walking in humility, admitting our dependence on him, coming back to him, choosing to abide in him. There's a dailiness to that Christ shares with us. So that daily coming back to him, it doesn't mean you've abandoned him, but bringing it back to your awareness. I honor you as my sovereign Lord, and I surrender every aspect of my life totally and completely to you. We need to do that regularly. You will find there are places in your heart and in your life that are not surrendered to God over time. Some of them unconsciously, you have, no, yeah, but I'm not, this part's not surrendered. So just doing this daily, not once every 6 months, not once a year at a retreat, but daily doing this makes a world of difference. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, okay? Presenting our bodies. I give you my body as a living sacrifice. I give you my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I give you my spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 6, he who unites himself with the Lord is one in spirit with him. I cover myself with your blood, my spirit, my soul, and my body. Revelations 12, the saints overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Blood of Jesus is powerful. We're going to kind of walk more into that power here in a minute. And I ask your Holy Spirit to restore my union with you, seal me in you, and guide me in this time of prayer. So Holy Spirit, come guide me in this time of prayer. Bringing, you know, you're in a place of authority. You have a domain around you, wherever, whatever your position is. Maybe you're head of a household. Maybe, you know, as a student, you have your domain. You have the things that have been put before you as responsibilities. Just bringing those things under, as you pray this, under that authority of Jesus Christ, saying, my domain, the kingdom you've put me in charge of, I bring under you now. Okay, let's go to the next one. Next paragraph. Dear God, holy and victorious Trinity, you alone are worthy of all my worship, my heart's devotion, all my praise, and all my trust, and all the glory of my life. I worship you, bow to you, and give myself over to you in my heart's search for life. You alone are life, and you have become my life. Your heart is always searching for life. It is. Song of Songs, there's a verse in there that says, I slept, but my heart was awake. Even in your sleep, your heart is awake, and it's searching for life. And it's looking for life somewhere. This is aligning yourself with, I'm going to look for life in God today, because he is my life. So coming back to that focus. You know, the angel springs the disciples from jail. John 10:10. You know, I have come that they may have life, have it to the full. Remember when the angel springs the disciples from the jail, and he says, go tell the people the message of this new life. Okay, this life, the life flows from Jesus, and we're just remembering that. Okay, let's keep going. You alone are life, and you have become my life. I renounce all other gods, all idols, and I give you the place in my heart and in my life that you truly deserve. I confess here and now that it is all about you, God, and not about me. You are the hero of this story, and I belong to you. Forgive me, God, for my every sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, walking in that forgiveness. Okay? Coming before him. Search me and know me and reveal to me any aspect of my life that is not pleasing to you. And grant me the grace of a deep and true repentance. Stop here. Listen to the Lord. You know, the enemy's trick isn't to turn us 180 degrees. It's to just get us a little bit off course one day. And he's going to work from there tomorrow with a little bit more. But no, we are daily, you know, maybe several times a day, coming back to these truths and saying, no, I am aligned with Christ. Search me, God. Where am I just 2 degrees off in my walk? And the Lord is gracious, and he comes into that, and he doesn't come into that with condemnation, both a tender father's heart, and we can realign that. We can give that back over. We can surrender that. We can crucify that flesh, that sin that's trying to tweak us. It's a daily cleaning house, basically. Okay. So next, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and choosing me before you made the world. Ephesians 1. You are my true Father, my Creator, my Redeemer, my Sustainer, and the true end of all things, including my life. I love you. I trust you. I worship you. Thank you for proving your love for me, Romans 5, by sending your only Son, Jesus, to be my substitute and representative. 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus ended what Adam brought on the human race, that infection, the sin nature, death. Jesus ended that, and he brought a new nature, circumcised unto God, the good heart. Okay? We're not miserable wretches that are going to slither under the gates of heaven. Because of Jesus, we're not. He's come and he's given us a new heart, circumcised us to him, set apart for God. And that sin nature has been crucified. I open up my life anew to all of his life and all his work, which you ordained for me. Thank you for including me in Christ, for forgiving me my sins, for granting me his righteousness, for making me complete in him. All these things that he's blessed us with. Thank you for making me alive with Christ, raising me with him, talked about that last week, seating me with him at your right hand, that's Ephesians 2, granting me his authority and anointing me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it all with thanks and give it total claim to my life. There's just no room for, am I all in? If you're praying through this, you can make this your own words. There's no magic to the way this is worded. There's power in the truth of it. And as you pray through this more, as you remind yourself of these truths, you can go for a walk and just, you don't need the text. You just declare the truth, realign yourself. So now we're going to go through the next three paragraphs are the work of Christ, the work of the cross. There's a serious danger in spending your life with Jesus, celebrating one third of his work, right? Celebrating forgiveness alone and not recognizing the full work of Jesus Christ, not to diminish the work of salvation, but you can't stop there. So we're going to pray through, we're going to acknowledge the full work of Christ. The cross, we start with the cross, Colossians 2, 13 to 15. I'm going to read that. See what the cross does, the crucifixion. That's what we're starting with. Okay, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. That was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Jesus' death disarms. That's why we claim that, that the devil has been disarmed by the cross of Christ. So we come under that crucifixion of Jesus. We die with Jesus. And he imparts to us that authority over the enemy. He disarms. He pulls his teeth out. If you come under that, right? If you walk in that crucifixion. Okay, so let's go into that. I don't have that up yet. So the demons hate the cross. They hate the blood of Christ too. It disarms them. So Jesus, thank you for coming for me, for ransoming me with your own life. I honor you as my Lord. I love you, worship you, trust you. I embrace you as my redemption, and I receive all the work and triumph of your crucifixion, whereby I am cleansed from all my sin. That's just the truth. That's just stating the truth. Through your shed blood, my old nature is removed. My heart is circumcised unto God. That's the good heart again. The beauty of the new covenant, Romans 2, your heart has been circumcised to God. Okay, sin nature removed, cut off from your heart. And every claim being made against me is disarmed by this work of the cross. I take my place in your cross and death, whereby I have died with you to my sin and to my flesh, to the world and to the evil one. I take up my cross and crucify my flesh. End of Galatians 5, with all its pride, unbelief, and idolatry. Okay, Luke 9:23, I take up my cross daily and follow him, as Jesus asks us to do, if anyone would follow him. Take up your cross daily. There's a dailiness to our commitment, to our awareness of walking with God. Christ says there's a dailiness to this. We choose that again each day. We will still fight a battle against the flesh. The battle is to, are we going to stand in the truth? Right? Are we going to stand in our position in Christ? Or are we going to walk away from that? Are we going to give over to the enemy? I put off the old man. I now bring the cross of Christ between me and all people, breaking any soul ties or unhealthy bonds that we may have entered into, that we may have turned to in place of God. All spirits, because it disarms them, the power of the cross. So we bring that. They hate the cross. Now, it's not they hate the cross on the wall, so we put it in every wall, you know, every room at the hospital or whatever to ward off the demons. No, they hate us standing in our position in what the cross has done for us. So, where am I? All spirits, all things, Galatians 6:14. Holy Spirit, apply to me, my wife, my kids, whatever you're including in your domain, your what God has put before you as put you authority over. The fullness of the work of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for me. I receive it with thanks and give it total claim to my life. There's no reserve here. The cross of Christ has total reign over me. I submit completely to it. So as we go through this each day, we can just feel things start to lift. Just this coming up for air. I like I said, I did it all this week. Every morning, I would just be like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And by the next morning, okay, Lord, I come to you. Yeah, I'm ready to go. So I think that's why Scripture speaks to us in this daily, the dailiness of this, our daily bread. Okay, taking up your cross daily and following Christ. He knows our nature. Now we're going into the second work of the cross, the second of the three parts that we're talking about here of the work of Christ, the resurrection. And it's done so much. Romans 6, just as Christ has been raised to a new life, so have we, united to him in his death and resurrection. So the resurrection is where we get the life of Christ. The cross, end of the old man, disarms the foul spirits, resurrection, life, strength, power given to us from God. We receive his new life. So Jesus, I also embrace you as my new life, my holiness and sanctification, and I receive all the work and triumph of your resurrection, whereby I have been raised with you to a new life, to walk in newness of life, dead to sin and alive to God. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I now take my place in your resurrection, the act of my will, submitting. I take my place in your resurrection, whereby I have been made alive with you. I reign in life through you. I now put on the new man in all holiness and humility, in all righteousness and purity and truth. That refocusing. Christ is now my life, the one who strengthens me. Holy Spirit, apply to me the fullness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for me. I receive it with thanks and give it total claim to my death. Total claim to my life. Death and destruction, these works of the enemy are defeated by the resurrection of Christ. Those are works of the enemy. Death, destruction, they're toast. If you come before God with this work of his new life, his resurrection, the power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Okay? Now the third part of the work of Christ, what's that? Ascension. Mike, you were reading ahead though, so that doesn't count. Third part of the work of Christ is the ascension. Major, major important work of Christ that we can forget. It's so important to spend equal time looking at the full work of Christ in our lives. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28. He won it through the cross, disarmed the enemy, then takes his seat of authority through the ascension. And Ephesians 2, like we talked about, we are seated with him. So let's read that. Okay. So Jesus, I also sincerely embrace you as my authority and rule, my everlasting victory over Satan and his kingdom, and I receive all the work and triumph of your ascension, whereby Satan has been judged and cast down, his rulers and authorities disarmed, all authority in heaven and on earth given to you, Jesus. and I have been given fullness in you, the head over all. Okay, getting all the ducks in a row here. Jesus is the head, and we come under him. But under him, we have authority. So we take our place in the ascension, Colossians 2, fullness in you, your power, authority, and dominion over every ruler, power, authority, and spiritual force of darkness. Ephesians 6, Paul tells us we wrestle with forces beyond this world. He lists four kinds: rulers, powers, authorities, and spiritual forces of wickedness, these different kinds of forces of darkness that we come against. This is what we wrestle with. This is really what we wrestle with. It's not your wife. It's not your kids. Remember we talked about that? Absolutely, there's issues there, and there's things we got to work through, but there is a deeper wrestling that's going on. And when you can live with an awareness of that, it changes the game. You can shut those things down. You can give grace because you know that the person you're dealing with might not be aware of that. The person who's riding a foot behind you on the freeway may not be aware of what they're in either. It's given me, understanding this has given me so much more grace for people and able to step into love in situations that would just infuriate me if I didn't understand that there's more going on. So we take this place out loud. Jesus commands out loud. We speak out the truth into this world. This is my place. This is my position. This is what God's done. This is where he's seated me. So I take my place in your ascension, whereby I have been raised with you to the right hand of the Father and established with you in all authority. I bring your authority and your kingdom rule over my life, my family, my household, and my domain. Okay. So now we just bring that, we've talked through those different parts of the work of Christ, we bring that together, and now I bring the fullness of your work, your cross, resurrection, and ascension against Satan, against his kingdom, and against all his emissaries, you know, those on mission set against us, and all their work warring against me in my domain. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Christ has given me authority to overcome all the power of the evil one, and I claim that authority now over and against every enemy, and I banish them in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, apply to me the fullness of the work of the ascension of Jesus Christ for me. I receive it with thanks and give it total claim to my life. So we're not only acknowledging these things, but we're now engaging them. That's why God gave them to us. It wasn't just so we could read them in a book. It's so we could live them out in our lives. So now we go to the third person of the Trinity. For the Lord is the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom and life. That's what Jesus is bringing to us, freedom and life. That's the effect of the gospel. That's supposed to be the effect of the gospel in our lives, is freedom and life. So we take that on. Let's do that. Holy Spirit, I sincerely embrace you as my counselor, my comforter, my strength, and my guide. God saw it necessary and good that we have a full-time counselor. Does that kind of make you go, hey, come on, what do I need a counselor for all the time? You know, what's wrong with me? Well, thank God we do have one. And we're going to be talking about that. We're moving into that stream, God as counselor, next week. So thank you for sealing me in Christ, Holy Spirit. I honor you as my Lord, and I ask you to lead me into all truth. In John 16, it says, I have much more to say to you, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth. So God had more to say to us, and then he sent the Holy Spirit, and we need it. It's the beauty of this intimate walk with God. We need that intimacy with God, that counselor, that helper, that strength, a guide. It's the humility of admitting, Lord, I don't have clarity here. What is going on in this situation? Lead me into truth, life, freedom, relationship in this situation. Okay, so I stop mid-sentence there. And I ask you to lead me into all truth, to anoint me for all of my life and walk and calling, and lead me deeper into Jesus today. I fully open my life to you in every dimension and aspect. Saying these things to God daily, it's really hard to hold on to stuff if you're not just, okay, I'm going through the motions, I'm gonna get through this prayer. If you're really meaning what you're saying here, it's really hard to hang on to a lot. I fully open my life to you in every dimension and aspect, my body, my soul, and my spirit. Do it slow. Think through those things. Am I really doing this or am I just saying it? Choosing to be filled with you, to walk and step with you in all things. Apply to me, blessed Holy Spirit, all of the work and all the gifts in Pentecost. Let your gifts come forth in me as you see fit. Which ones are going to come out? Which ones do you want to use in my life? But my posture is I'm not closed to any of the gifts. Okay? I think in my looking at scripture, everybody isn't going to be operating all the time with all of the gifts. But I do believe we all have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has all the gifts. So he's going to give one to one to another as he sees fit for us to work together as the body, right? But I haven't closed myself. I haven't made any pronouncements or declarations that I've never seen that gift manifest in my life. So I guess I don't have that gift. He's a good father. He gives good things. Today could be the day. Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm open to it all. Let it come. That's my posture. Fill me afresh, blessed Holy Spirit. End of Galatians 5, we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. There's a daily aligning that suggests that we could not keep in step with the Spirit. There's a lot of those suggestions in Scripture of this dailiness suggests that you could choose to not daily do this. And you could get out of step with the Spirit. So I want to move with you today. I want to walk with you today, Holy Spirit. I receive you with thanks and give you total claim to my life. Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you for granting to me every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1. I receive those blessings into my life today, and I ask the Holy Spirit to bring all those blessings into my life this day. Now we go through several of them by name. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, effective for disarming the warfare. Wash me once more with his blood from every sin and stain and evil device. I put on your armor. Okay? You have to put it on. It's not just a metaphor, right? The spiritual realm sees this armor. And Paul says, put it on. Okay? So the belt of truth. Started with the first one, right? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation. I take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. I visualize these things when I'm doing it. Like I'm armored up when I talk through this. The word of God. When I'm on a walk, you know, some people might think I'm going a little mad because I've got my shield on and I'm raising my sword. And okay, so I take up the shield of faith and sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and I wield these weapons against the evil one in the power of God. I choose to pray at all times in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Is the Spirit leading you in your prayers? To be strong in you, Lord, and in your might. That I choose to pray at all times in the Spirit is really important. I mean, learning to allow the Spirit to pray through you and to lead your prayers, the perfect intercessor, to pray the perfect prayers, getting in tune with the Holy Spirit, important. Now the angels, okay? End of Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who shall inherit salvation? That's really cool. Okay? I'm going to inherit salvation. You guys are inherit salvation. So are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who shall inherit salvation? It's amazing. The angels are sent to serve you. You're going to need it. That's why they're sent. So we call for the help of the angels. Okay? We're not worshiping the angels. We're not praying to the angels. But we're acknowledging and affirming their presence and their authority as servants in our realm. So that's this next one here. So Father, thank you for your angels. May they guard me at all times this day. It's like, I welcome them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those who pray for me. One of the gifts of God is he raises up people to pray for you. It's just the way he chooses to do it. He's all about relationship. He's all about bringing us together, functioning as a body. So there's people who, people in this room, you come to my mind, I pray for you. Hopefully I come to your mind sometimes and you pray for me. You ever had that? Or maybe you have a dream about something, you wake up and you're just like, I gotta pray for that person. Or I don't know why, but I'm just driving along here and so-and-so's on my mind. Well, Lord, I just lift them up right now. So we're just acknowledging how God works in that way. Interesting, 2 Corinthians 1, 10 and 11. So Paul kind of acknowledges this need for prayer and getting through. 2 Corinthians 1, he says, we felt in our hearts the sentence of death. They were in some deep spiritual battle. Something was going on, very heavy. Felt the sentence of death, but he says, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 11, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So it by our prayers, Paul's saying, by your prayers, I got through. God chose to use that avenue, that way of moving and getting us through it. Okay, so we're almost done here. I confess I need their prayers, and I ask you to send forth your spirit and rouse them, unite them, raise up the full canopy of prayer and intercession for me. Thank you, God, for this. The way that you move, do it. And I like to, acknowledge I have that place too in other people's lives, opening my spirit to the Spirit giving me other people's names, to pray for. So I call forth, now just this declaration ending the prayer, I call forth the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ this day throughout my home, my family, my life, and my domain, standing on all these truths that we just walked through. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ with all glory and honor and thanks to him. And if it feels more like an official prayer, you can say amen at the end of it. It's confidence like Jesus in the temple in Luke 4. Walking in these truths, I don't care what order you put them in. I think there's a significance to the order that they are here, but this isn't some kind of religious thing. This is recognizing the truths. It's all laid out here together so that you can recognize it. But there's a confidence like Jesus in Luke 4 when he walks into the temple and says, this is why I've come. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. And this is who I am. This is what Christ has done for me. This is how I'm going to live my life today. This is what's first for me. This is who I worship, and this is where I'm aligned. So, like I said, in 24 hours, I come back to this and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, the stuff after I prayed that prayer that came after me, in the end of the day, yeah, I'm disarming that right now. I'm not going to go into this day with that baggage. I'm going to walk in the truth. So, just in closing, my challenge to you guys, and then we can talk about how that went next Sunday. I might just pick people out specifically and make them share. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe, I'm kidding. And just for the next whatever, however many mornings that is, 6 mornings, pray through this. You, like I said, you can go to Ransomed Heart and they've got a recording of somebody just reading the prayer. That might feel weird to some people. To me, it really helps because I'm not sitting with a piece of paper. I'm walking out. I got beautiful surroundings around me where I live, and I just walking through the forest on the road and listening to it but declaring it at the same time. That's another option for you. But just challenge you every day, every morning. Just do it for a week, okay? And see if it makes a difference in your focus, in your connection with God throughout the day, in your alignment with him and in the truth, okay? So let me just pray over you guys. And Lord, thank you for all of these truths. God, I do not want to operate, and I don't want anybody here in this fellowship to operate with fear and trembling when we talk about spiritual warfare. This prayer, starting our day aligning with your truth, is spiritual warfare. It's claiming the victory that we have and then walking in it and remembering it and submitting to your truth. And so I just pray that your heart would come through the truths that we've been able to read here this morning. It's because of your love that we can be in the position that we're in, and that we can have the freedom in life that's available to us. There's more freedom in life available to us. I pray that we would all find it each day moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys have an awesome Sunday, and we'll see you next week.